Our scripture reading will be from the book of James, James chapter 1, verses 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.
Good to be back together again this evening on this, what's been a beautiful day, and we're certainly glad to have the opportunity to have a holiday. Hope that everyone has an opportunity to spend some time with family and loved ones and friends, and it's also important that we continue to remember why we are observing this day. There are those who have paid the price for our freedom. Freedom is not free. I'm like Alan. I noticed there were a lot of good war movies on today. I didn't get a chance to watch many of them, but I did see a couple of them that were new to me. So it certainly is good to remain appreciative of our nation's history and the price that has been paid for our freedom. I want you to turn with me, if you will, back to the passage that was read from James chapter 1. Some of you may be familiar with a preacher by the name of B.E. Howard. You would have to be my age, perhaps, in order to have a firsthand knowledge of him. But I remember that Brother Howard was the speaker on a radio program that was entitled The International Bible Hour. And he was on that program for 65 years. And I remember as a kid growing up, we would listen to that program on our way home from church just about every Sunday night. Anyway, Brother Howard had a very distinct way of speaking. And he used an expression that became his trademark. Whenever he would reach a point of major importance in his lessons, he would stop and hesitate, and he would say, "Are you listening?" That became kind of his trademark. It was very effective because it was a way to get listeners who may have their attention may have been drifting to refocus and pay full attention to what was being said. Not only was it effective, it also became a habit to him, and he told some stories that were a kind of humorous. In one of his books, he talked about he was conducting a wedding. And he got to the point where he was repeating the vows to the young man, and he stopped and he asked the young man, "Are you listening?" And apparently he hadn't been, because he raised his head and said, "I do." But at any rate, Brother Howard certainly recognized the importance of listening. Obviously, Brother Howard recognize that preaching of the gospel can be effective only if people are really listening. Now, this certainly isn't something that Brother Howard discovered. It was something that Jesus, who is the master teacher of all times, emphasized continually in his preaching. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 23 and 4, Jesus stopped in the middle of teaching some of his parables and said, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Luke, the 8th chapter, Jesus told the parable that illustrated the importance of the hearer, the parable of the sower. The same seed of the gospel was being sown, but to some it was effective, to others it wasn't. To some it had no effect, to others they were faithful for a time and then fell away. The difference is in the condition of the heart of the hearer. He concluded this parable by saying in verse 18 of Luke chapter 8, "Therefore take heed how you hear." In Luke chapter 8 and verse 6, Jesus stopped the parable about the persistent widow and said, "Listen, listen to what the unjust judge said." To all the seven churches of Asia, after letters filled with condemnation as well as instruction and praise, he concluded each one by saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, obviously, Jesus was not as concerned with people's hearing ability as he was in their ability to listen. All of us have probably had the experience of listening, but not really hearing. I remember one time I was sitting in the house on a Sunday afternoon. This was a few years ago, and I was reading the newspaper. And Cindy was in the kitchen, and I remember she was talking, and we'd been talking back and forth for a long time, probably about 15 minutes. And when we were done, I realized I didn't have any idea at all what we had been talking about. I did have this. Feeling that I had agreed to do something. I wasn't exactly sure what it was. But the truth of the matter is that, we have to not only listen, or we not only must listen, but we must hear. Jesus knew the same thing was true when it comes to his teaching. When we read from the Bible or when we listen to preaching and teaching, there are times when the message is absolutely does not sink in. It can be for many reasons. Some of us do not listen well. Some of us have not learned how to be effective listeners. Many of us really fail to benefit from times of worship and Bible study that we do attend because we have not disciplined ourselves to listen. However, there is a more serious reason why many people do not really hear or benefit from what the Word of God says, because they resist it. There are people that find in the teachings of Jesus truths about themselves that they really don't want to see. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer calls the Word of God sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the bone and the marrow, to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. People find in the teachings of Jesus things about God's will that they don't want to be held accountable for. I heard a doctor talking one time about the fact that he had so many patients that would put off going to the doctor for an examination for a long time. Sometimes amount of time that makes a difference between being able to treat and being a point that is beyond treatment. And they put off going to the doctor because they have this intending sense of trouble. They're afraid of what they may find out, and so they don't go until it's too late. Now, we don't have any difficulty seeing that that is unwise when it comes to our health. And yet, many times when it comes to knowing the truth about the Word of God, people don't want to see the truth about God's will for man or the condition of their soul. Consequently, many people do not listen or benefit from the teaching of God's Word because they have closed their ears and their hearts. In Matthew 13 and verse 13, Jesus quoted Isaiah, "Seeing they do not see, nor hearing they do not hear. For the heart of this people has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears for they hear." And so it's important for us to be those who hear, those who listen to what the Word of God has to say. The truth is there are some who have stopped listening to God. We may go to church, we may listen to the sermons, we may even be reading the Bible on our own, but we're really not hearing what God has to say as it affects our lives. Some of us stop listening. We can reach the point where we become satisfied with our Bible knowledge. A fella in one congregation told me, and he had, my understanding was that he had attended Sunday morning Bible study for years. And then all of a sudden he no longer was coming to Bible study. And so I hadn't been preaching at that congregation very long. And so I went to him and I asked him why he did not attend Bible study any longer. And he told me it was because he never heard anything that he didn't already know. Well, you know, it is certainly said that one of the reasons for preaching is to remind us and to encourage us to do what we already know. And so we can become arrogant to the point where whenever we hear what the Bible teaches, we accept the fact that we believe that we're convinced that we already know all about the teachings of the Bible. And even when we're challenged perhaps to examine a belief or perhaps take a closer look at a passage, we automatically reject it because we're convinced that we already know what the Bible has to say about everything. Brother Charles Hodge had an expression. He said that we should read the Bible as if it was the first time, every time. And I think that that is true because we can, instead of searching out for the truth of the Scripture, we can fall back on an understanding that may or may not be complete. If we reach that point, then we can no longer be instructed. And we are destined to stand before God, having based our salvation on teachings that may or may not be true. Are we willing to take the risk that God is teaching us things that we are not taking advantage of because we do not see the importance of listening and we don't see the importance of studying? Paul said to Christians that we are to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We can reach the point where we think that we are all that we need to be. Even Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 13 that he had not already attained. He was not already everything that he knew that he needed to be. And so we can reach that point in our Christian lives as well, where we're satisfied with our spiritual growth wherever it might be. We can reach the point where we accept habits and practices in our lives that are contrary to God's will, that we no longer accept God's guidance or admonition or correction, and when we do, then we concede ourselves to standing before God in judgment with a life that is still filled with sin. We can reach the point where we are satisfied with our relationship to God, where we no longer desire to know the Lord better or to walk more closely with Him. And when we do, we forfeit all spiritual blessings that God wishes to share with us. And we accept a Christian life that is shallow. So what happens when we stop listening to God? When we stop listening to God, then we will die spiritually. Because our spiritual growth, our faith will die, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we all need to listen to God while we still can, while our hearts are still pliable enough to be molded by God's Word. John begins the revelation by saying, "Blessed is the one who reads and hears and keeps the things written in this book." And so we need to take heed how we hear. How should we hear the Word of God? How should we respond to His teaching? Well, that's where our text comes in this evening from James chapter 1. We should respond to the teaching of God's Word. We should hear and receive God's Word according to this text several things are important. First of all, when receiving the Word of God, we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, or slow to get angry. You know, usually, when I've heard this passage taught, it's been applied to our relationships with others. That the way to get along with others is to listen more than you speak, and to be able to control your temper. And that certainly is true, and that would be good advice when it came to relationships. But it's not really the context of what James is talking about. In verse 18, he said, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. Verse 19, therefore let us be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James is speaking here of having an attitude of receptivity and submission to the will of God. There are many people in the world who quite honestly don't care what God says. As Paul said in Romans chapter 1, they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. I remember asking a man one time, and I had been interested in him, and I thought that he was an older man and he had some health problems, and I felt that that he was approachable. We had a nice relationship with one another, but he was in the hospital. He had emphysema. I felt like I was going to have to move my relationship with him a little further on if we were going to talk about salvation. And I asked him if he believed in God, and I have never to this day had anyone else who responded in this way. His response was, I never really gave it much thought. Can you imagine that, not giving much thought as to whether or not there is a God? Can you imagine not giving much thought to what is God's will for our life and where will we spend eternity? But these things were just not in his mind. They were not on his thoughts because he was a very carnally minded man. He was not a bad man. But he simply did not have, he was profane. He just didn't care for pondering eternal matters. The person who truly believes in God will have a compelling desire to learn about Him. Solomon begins the Proverbs by saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 2, if you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That's where knowledge comes from. That's where wisdom comes from. It comes from the Word of God. And so how important is it for us to seek for knowledge of God? Well, so much so that we are told that we are to hunger and thirst after God and His righteousness. God has revealed Himself to us in His Word. We can know Him through His Word. The prospects of knowing God is something that merits more than just casual interest in the Bible. Jesus said that eternal life is to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And so that is the essence. That is when our life here on earth transcends into our life that will be our eternal life. As we come to know God in this life, as we come to know Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus spoke of hungering and thirsting after God and His righteousness. One of the things that that really thrilled me, impressed me, was a missionary trip that I took to South America, and we were in the outback part, and we had traveled by road. I guess you could call that a road, and we had traveled several hours to be in this village. And when we got to this little village, it was nothing more than a line of huts alongside the river. It was a mining town, which meant they had a string of light bulbs going down the middle of the town. And we began announcing that we were going to have preaching every night. And you know, I thought there's no way that that we're going to be able to promote this in such a way. And every night we had a full tent full of people that had come to hear the gospel proclaimed, because it was something that was promoted as being an opportunity to study the Word of God. And there were people that had traveled some distance. There were people that traveled all day and spent the night and stayed over the next day before they headed back home again. And yet again, you know, our culture is so much so that, you know, if you've been to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, then we more or less think that that we have shown that we are truly zealous about serving the Lord. And yet, that was the interest these people had. They were aware of the Bible. They had been exposed to the Bible. There had been missionaries that had come in from different places at different times. And another thing was that a lot of them had a portion of the Bible. Maybe they had a section of it that had just ended up in their possession, and they would bring their Bible, whatever it amounted to. And so every time we would travel back, we had our suitcases full of every Bible that we could lay our hands on. And the church there continues to be in existence in Comarca, in South America. There's a congregation there that now has elders. They've had a congregation there for more than 30 years. And so that is the strength of the Word of God. But they were hungering and thirsting after having a knowledge of God. So how swift are we to hear? How hungry are we to receive the guidance of God in our lives? Not only must we desire to hear God's Word, we must be submissive to it. And so James says we must be swift to hear, slow to speak. When God speaks through His Word, we must be careful how we respond. No one is ever more foolish than when he argues with God. I've known of people, of Christians, who, without any reluctance at all, would read what the Bible said and then say, "Well, I disagree." And they weren't disagreeing with the teacher or what the teacher said was the verse in the text meant. They were disagreeing with the Bible. They were disagreeing not just with the Bible, they were disagreeing with the God who gave us His Word. There was a major denomination since I have been back in Delaware this year, and I'm sure you pretty much have heard about the conflict that went on, and it was the United Methodist Church, and they were having a tremendous discussion on what their position was going to be on whether or not to accept and fellowship homosexuality. And finally, they had conferences about it, and they talked about it, and they voted on it. And they decided, and the statement that I heard was, we don't think that God would condemn any relationship that was based on love. So they felt that their acceptance of homosexuality, even though it's in defiance, it's in direct opposition to what God's position was, they felt that they were expressing more love than what God did when He told us that a practice was a sin. Well, where does man get off trying to think for God, trying to tell God what he accepts and what he doesn't accept? And so when we read God's Word, it must be with the attitude that the prophet Samuel had when he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." That is the attitude that we must have towards the Word of God. And when we listen to God and accept without reservation His authority to say whatever His will is and to submit to it, we must not respond to His teaching whatever it may be, in anger. So we are to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And that's a direct comment on what our attitude is toward the truth. There are people that their response to the truth is to get angry. Some of the first preaching that I did was at a state mental hospital. Now, that may not surprise you. I don't know. But we had a service, and it was well attended. We took a group from the church in Cambridge when I first began preaching there. And the people that lived there were very, very interested in coming. And I remember there was a man who was an interesting man. He appeared to be very intelligent, and in a lot of ways he was. We would ask him to do the scripture reading, but we had to put a time limit on it because he would continue to read. But anyway, he did not like to hear what the Bible taught about baptism. And so one time I had a lesson on the subject, and he became so upset. He had a newspaper with him, and he opened it up and he began reading it. I guess that was his way of saying that he didn't really want to hear or accept what I was teaching from the Bible about baptism. Finally, he laid down on the pew and put the newspaper over his face. So that was pretty extreme. But I got the message. He really was not interested in hearing what the Bible had to say on the subject of baptism. Certainly there are those who angrily reject what the Bible teaches on many subjects. When Peter preached in Acts the 17th chapter, the crowd became so angry that they put their fingers in their ears and rushed at him to stone him. No one is going to serve God acceptably if the instructions of God's word make them angry. James said in verse 20 that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. No one is going to obey God because it angers him. So how should we receive God's word? Let us be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Secondly, in order to receive God's word properly, we must put away the practice of sin in our lives. In verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Some years ago, I baptized a young teenage boy who had been into quite a bit of trouble, and his mother had been so concerned about him and was so pleased when he showed signs that he had a change of heart and was seeking to change his life. But she was really afraid that this would be something that would hold his interest for a while and then he would get pulled back into the world by his friends. He showed me the Bible that she had given to him. And in the front of the Bible, she had written, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." And certainly that is true. A steady diet of worldly things drowns out our spiritual desires. I've known parents that were surprised that their young people, after being on a steady diet of video games and things of that nature, found that they were not interested in Bible class. Teachers were perplexed because everything that they taught was received by them as being something that was boring. Well, how foolish can we be? Sin is exciting. Sin is titillating. Satan makes it appear that way. Constant exposure will destroy spiritual desire. So in James chapter 4 and verse 4 says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself the enemy of God. And it's not just the young people as well. We can get ourselves so wrapped up in things of the world that we are not receptive to the things of God. Thirdly, we notice the way that God's word is to be received in verse 21, and receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. When something is grafted in, it becomes a part of the original. And so if you take a branch of a tree and you cut a notch into a tree and then bind it together, soon it will grow together as one. It becomes grafted in. It's not enough just to hear what God's word says. It's not even enough to understand and agree with it. In order for the word of God to save and change us, it must be taken into our heart. God promised that God promised the Jews that there would be a time when His will would be written not on tables of stone, but in the hearts of men. We're told in Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so the more that we spend time in God's word and meditate on it, the more we will become like God. His thoughts will become our thoughts. Whenever we are tempted or a situation arises where a moral decision must be made, our minds will turn to what the Lord has to say, what God has said, and we'll know that what God has said is right. A constant diet of God's word will bring us to the point that Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, where even our every thought is brought into submission to God's word. Well, finally, in order for us to properly receive the word in verse 22, we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. There's no special blessing promised to us simply because we have an academic interest or knowledge of the Bible. The only blessing God's word in the word of God is found in doing. We are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. The word doer, there is an interesting word in the Greek. It's the word poimen, which is the same word from which the word poem comes. And so our life, as it is based upon the teachings of God's word, will be shaped. It will be molded. It will be changed into a beautiful life. So we are to be doers of the word. We are to, our life is to be changed by that word. It creates a beautiful life if it is lived in conjunction with the word of God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. He also said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Why is it important for us to hear the word of God? Well, in John chapter 12 and verse 28, Jesus tells us that the words that he has spoken will judge us in the last day. That's why it is important for us to take heed how we hear. Our salvation depends upon it. And so how should the word of God be received? Well, we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. We should rid our lives of willful sin. We must take the word of God to heart and make it a part of our life. And we must do what the Father says that we are to do. And so, is that the way we are receiving God's word? Is that the way we are making the word of God a part of our heart and making it a part of our life? God has made very, very clear in Scripture what He expects of us in regards to salvation. And at this time, we're going to extend the Lord's invitation. If there's anyone here who has an understanding of what the Lord has required of us regarding our salvation, we will provide that opportunity. And we'll be praying with you and praying for you while together we stand and while we sing.